everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 169, again, for Friday, January 31st, 2014. Welcome back. Sorry you missed you. Did we miss you or did you miss us? Somebody missed somebody last week. Google had a little outage, so no podcast for us. I'm Phil Dickinson, the host of this little show and the editor of AndroidCentral.com. With us this week, Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, folks.
Alex Stowe in England.
Hey, everyone.
And Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Hello, hello.
I have a very personal question to ask one of you guys.
Like, one of you the same personal question to each one of us, or?
One of you is echoing in my ears. Which one is it?
It's not me.
It could be Andrew. I always hear.
I can only hear myself, though.
I'm just kidding, just trying to make Andrew get all fired up.
I don't have speakers on, that's all I know.
Fine. Be that way, I see how it is. So, what's going on? If it's your first time joining us, we generally do these once a week, except for when Google goes down on Friday afternoons. We do it live. People are watching this live now. They'll listen later, they'll watch later, but the cool ones are here live. That's the way it works. I am currently sitting at my standing desk, for those who keep track of these things.
Mark it down.
And we're going to talk about Android and Android-y stuff. Now, really nothing happened this week, so we could talk about... I was just on a Mashable Hangout. We could talk about that for a while.
Well, we'll talk about it for a few minutes now that you mentioned it. You can't just walk away from it.
I was kidding, but okay, I'm going to stand up now. It's a standing desk. We're hanging out. We're podcasting. I'm going to hang out. From stand up. Nah, I don't know. It was good. It was cool. Christina Warren's on. I know Christina decently. We were joking. We have these professional friends who we only see at like trade shows and stuff. And Christina's one of them. She's awesome. So no, thanks for having me on. That was cool. Now we're doing this. No, I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of the same stuff, I think. What do you want to start with? The big thing? Lenovo? Motorola?
Yeah.
Might as well.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So Lenovo bought Motorola. That's it. That's all I know.
$3 billion.
2.9 was it 291, something like that. Whatever. It's a lot of money.
And they agreed to buy them. It's not nothing's finalized yet, but the agreement is there. It's like $650 million cash, a bunch of stock, and then a little bit more a bit later on.
Just a little bit of a surprise. No, sorry, Alex said he saw it coming. He knew the whole time.
Did I? Okay.
you're supposed to be damn right I did.
I mean, if anybody in the tech press saw this coming, they're lying, because I don't think that there was any indication in the outside world that Motorola was going to get offloaded by Google so abruptly.
Well, now you look at what happened last year, right? We're going to August with the Moto X launch, a big rebranding with Motorola as a Google company, and it seems, you know, kind of ironic that you know, 5 months later, we have this takeover by Lenovo, and then at the same time, you have a Chinese company that's going to be making phones out of Texas.
Right, and well, and the most interesting part is if you followed all of the earnings reports, the earnings calls, they always said, you know, we have this product pipeline, we're turning the ship around. It's going to take 12 to 18 months is what they said in the beginning of 2012. And then later in the year, they said it's still going to take another 12 to 18 months. So they were kind of okay with the fact that they were losing money every single quarter. So it was kind of surprising to see them say, okay, now this is the stopping point.
And everything about that gave you the impression they were in it for the long term, right? Or at least there was a long-term plan there that was being executed. Now, potentially, we have a situation where – sorry, Jerry. We have a situation where – you have Lenovo taking over. They have stuff in the pipeline that has to be played out before they can properly take control and put their game plan into action for Motorola.
Do we erase? No, Jerry can't talk. No.
Okay.
Do we erase the past year? Do we just pretend it didn't happen?
No.
All right, now Jerry can talk.
All right, there's got to be somebody at Google that is pretty pissed that they're still losing upwards of $300 to $400 million a quarter, and something had to be done with Motorola. I'm very surprised that it turned out to be a sale. I would have expected Google to pump billions more dollars into it to try to make it profitable, but they had to do something.
And they had said before that they got into Motorola to make money. Now, obviously, they weren't. The losses were getting bigger.
Right.
Well, I want to say they more than doubled between, it was either year over year or after Q3, I forget which.
Yeah.
But they weren't.
The end of 2012, anyways, was they lost, Q4 2012, they lost like $150 million and they lost $384. But their biggest losses for the last couple of quarters, where they were like $400 million, $550, you know, those are huge, pretty huge losses. But at the same time, they kind of said that they knew that Motorola was going to lose money, but maybe they expected it to turn around by this point. I'm not sure.
Well, I know Richard and I, we kind of played research monkey for you, Andrew, with your where you broke down the financial part. You're really good at this. You have a little bit of a background in it, so we were glad to see you do it. They're getting to the point that Motorola was the thing that was costing them money every quarter, wasn't it? They didn't have very many other unprofitable ventures.
No, not really. It seems like their earnings, you know, as far as their ad business, and, you know, let's be honest, that's Google's business.
Right.
Their ad business was huge, and it was continuing to grow. We just saw Q4 was up 20% over Q3 in terms of their ad revenues. And so, you know, that's where their real business is, and Motorola was always a small portion of that. But you still don't want to see a segment pulling in, you know, a negative $400 million quarters every quarter.
It, to me, that just sounds unreal, $400 million. I realize to Google it's not, you know, nearly as big a number. But still, I just – do you think, Andrew, that – is this just another business deal now that it's all said and done? They lost a little bit. They may have gained with a patent portfolio. Or was this a huge blunder where Motorola just really – killed Google's bottom line?
Before you answer that, remember they got this weird – Motorola bought that – what was that company that was going to make
– Aura. Holding,
Project Aura.
Aura.
Yeah, so they're holding on to that part as well and whatever patents. So as you talk about this being a business-only deal, you know, and selling it off for those reasons, think about that too.
Well, I think that, you know – when you look at it, you know, just on maybe one level under the surface, you just see they had lost upwards of $2 billion. Well, now including the Q4 losses, they lost over $2 billion in less than 2 years running Motorola. That's just straight up operating losses. That's not including the other expenditures that they put in as far as, you know, they spent, you know, $500 million on advertising. They brought in, you know, they started leasing plants in Texas to make the Moto X, and, you know, all of those costs associated were big too. But when you look at how much they lost, it's kind of like, okay, it makes sense to just cut this out. That they spent $12.5 billion on it, but they didn't, you know, they didn't lose $10 billion on the deal. They lost maybe $1 billion. And from that point of view, it's kind of like, you know, you have the added benefit of now you don't have that Motorola segment dragging down your earnings every single quarter on top of that. So you have to look at it that way. It's preventing future losses more than anything. If they did an analysis and they said, okay, we don't see Motorola turning it around in our projections, even on the good side, if they planned to lose another $2 billion over the next 2 years, then it really didn't make any sense to hold on to them.
I think for me, it's the speed at which it all just kind of happened. I mean, from our view outside looking in, it's we just got the first two Motorola phones under this new Google Rolo, Moto Goog, whatever you want to call it, thing, right? Got the Moto X in, what, August? And now the Moto G, was that December?
It's November, December.
November,
something like that.
So, I mean, to me, that's the bigger shock, especially because we have these two phones that we like a lot. I've got, there. There's a Moto G. So, I mean, these two phones that I really do like a lot, especially the Moto G, for as much as I like the X, I love the idea of the Moto G at $180, $190, right, outright. That is a Agreed. Big, big deal. So what's going to happen to that? What's the next step? Is Lenovo,
thing for me,
and Lenovo has said they're not just going to kill the X and the G out.
Well, and we got to remember, Lenovo is more than capable of continuing that level of craftsmanship and engineering. Maybe even more so than what was left of Motorola.
The question is going to be, what is the incentive for them to keep the things that Android enthusiasts really like about those two phones now they're no longer controlled by Google? What's the incentive for them to keep the very close to stock Android UI and the fast updates when that isn't feeding back to the benefits of that aren't feeding back to the mothership? And it's probably going to take a couple of years before we know that. But it's very possible that we go back to Lenovo with Motorola. You keep some of the features that we've seen been developed in the X and the G, but it goes back to being very much a run-of-the-mill Android OEM with its own UI that's maybe a bit more distinctive than what it used to.
And it depends what Lenovo, you know, how long they want to ride it out, right? They only sell their, you know, they have their laptops that are sell, you know, they're one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Windows PC manufacturers right now, or laptop manufacturers. So, but in phones, they sell pretty darn well in China, and they do a good job at that. Motorola, they've kind of indicated thus far, is going to be their North America, Western Europe play, and right. You know, maybe expanding from there. But maybe this will be a good way to bring in people that understand North America and Europe. You know, we've seen that Lenovo's software just doesn't translate well over to the US. So, you know, it kind of depends how many people stick around. You know, they're going to bring upwards of, 3,900 employees are at Motorola still. You know, how many of those people are going to stick around and continue to, you know, bring the new Motorola message to Lenovo? Or are they just going to scrap it all and say, we're going to use the brand name, the manufacturing, and all the ideas for the software are going to be new?
How much of this, and we saw, just like we did when Google bought Nest, oh, God, there's this great company, and Google's going to screw it up, and now you're starting to see that again. Oh, I'm sending my Moto X back. I'm not going to buy one now. Lenovo's going to screw it up. It's not going to get updates.
That's or crazy even talk.
Even worse to me is the out-and-out, you know, xenophobia of, I don't want to buy a phone from a Chinese company because they're going to be spying on me, which is just ridiculous, especially when you consider how much your own country is spying on you, but we'll get into that some other time. I mean, is that just ridiculous as it seems on face value?
I think it's the uncertainty, right? It's, we've had this big turnaround with Motorola. A lot of people really like what they're doing now, and suddenly there's a prospect that they're going into this period of maybe 2 years where we really don't know what Lenovo is going to do. They could just completely cut off everything that people like about the X and the G. They probably won't because that's not their style. But it's a lot of the unknown that I think has people a bit spooked.
I mean, that's not to say I don't personally feel some sort of like, what the hell? I liked what Motorola was doing. Like, I absolutely did. And I get that. And I get that reaction. But that's an emotional reaction to what probably is a very businessy deal, I hope.
Right. Well, and from Lenovo's point of view, you don't know what they were eyeing when they said that they're going to buy Motorola. Did they, you know, did they simply buy it for the brand name? Because that's what they did with the ThinkPad line, and they bought that and wrote that into, you know, a huge business for them. Do they plan on doing that, or do they want to bring it in-house? Like I said, when they already have a mobile business, you know, there's going to be some conflicts of interest there when, you know, you have a mobile segment of your company, and then, you know, Lenovo just buys more mobile people, you know, well, that clearly do things very differently.
Maybe. I mean, there's basically no crossover between the Lenovo mobile brand now and Motorola, is there? One's very much an Asian company. One is a North American, to a lesser extent, Western European country. So they could run the two brands just separately as they are now, right?
Sure. The same products with a different name wouldn't surprise me. You're not going to sell Lenovo phones to everybody in the West because people are afraid of China. Phil hit it right on the head. The xenophobia, the patriotism, people will be more apt to buy a Motorola phone than they would be a Lenovo phone. Well, right or wrong, it's just some people are that way.
I can definitely agree with that, but I still don't think that Lenovo is going to be able to be 100% hands off, for better, you know, lack of a better term, on Motorola. This wasn't a spin off that they're just going to own them and let them do their own thing.
And they can't because they're losing $400 million a quarter.
Exactly. Oh. There's no way that they buy them and continue to operate Motorola with 4,000 employees losing $400 million a quarter. Right. There would have been no reason to buy them for $2.9 million or billion.
I meant make Lenovo phones and put a Motorola logo on them. Not let Motorola continue to make phones.
They very well could just scrap the whole, you know, the future plans, you know, notwithstanding what agreements they have with Verizon to be the only maker of droids. But there's just no way that they can continue to operate the same way. I mean, as much as we may say we like what Motorola was doing, their profits were in the tank just so, so hard that, you know, continuing to ride that out is one of the reasons why Google got rid of them, likely.
So here's kind of a loaded question. And we declared the Moto X to be basically our phone of the year. It's our favorite phone that you can buy right this second. Is that still the case now?
You know, I was thinking earlier, last week, if I did not have a smartphone and had to go out and buy one, I would buy a Moto G just because it's late in the Moto X's life.
Mm.
I still feel that way today. If I had to go out and buy any smartphone because I needed one desperately, I would buy a Moto G and would recommend that to anybody. If you have a little bit of extra money to burn, I would still say the Moto X until another phone comes along with features that work as well and I like as much, or I get an OTA that takes them away from my phone.
Right. I think it's sensationalist to say that the Moto X automatically becomes a bad phone until, like what Jerry said, if they just put out an OTA 4 months from now that just changes it somehow.
Yeah, they're going to bring Blur back in an OTA. I think it's going to – the problem with the Moto X is the timing right now and the life cycles and all the stuff that's coming in the next couple of months, not the device. The device is still good, but – would you want to pick up a phone that's 6 months old that is, you know, at a time where we're just starting this new cycle of phones? That's probably the problem, and especially the problem for Motorola in Europe right now because the X is just launching there.
And we don't know what Motorola's roadmap was. We don't know if we were going to see – we've got the Moto X, the Moto G. What's the next letter you want to pick?
Epsilon.
Y and H.
The Motorola F and the Motorola U. I don't know. We don't know when we are going to see the next phone, right? So it could have been next August for all we know. It could still be next August.
Yeah.
Don't think that other manufacturers haven't seen the reaction to some of the stuff that Motorola did. And whether it be Samsung or HTC or Lenovo or anybody else comes out with features that are as compelling.
And if you're doing that on a Snapdragon 800-based device, that is really easy to do.
Very correct.
It was funny seeing, who was it, Paul O'Brien was talking about it this week. Somebody else was talking about it too. The HTC One, and we've talked about it before. And I rehashed it a little bit on the Mashable podcast when they said, you know, think about the last year in Android. You know, we're about a year out from the HTC One. We're getting really close to Mobile World Congress and probably some sort of announcement from HTC. I can't imagine they're going into MWC without having some sort of new product. You can't take last year's product there. You just can't.
HTC One 2? Wouldn't that be great?
That's a whole nother matter. We'll talk about that maybe next week.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, it's still a hell of a phone. It is absolutely a hell of a phone, and it's finally getting its KitKat update, which...
Yeah.
You know what?
I've got it here.
Yeah, I mean, what was it, 30 days, and they missed the 30 days in the U.S. I get that. I get that.
Back up. No, they didn't. Mine got it. It's the carrier. Screw all your carriers.
They submitted it to the carriers in under 90 days.
Right. My phone got it within 60 days of
Europe got it. Canada got it.
Right.
And, you know, call me an HTC apologist for this, but I'm going to say, you know what? Close enough.
Right.
It's just not that simple.
Well, it's out of their hands. I mean, once they submit it to the carriers and under their time frame,
it is still a hell of a phone. I kind of miss using it. There are parts of it I don't miss using it I still think the Moto X, for me personally, I like it's a better design. It fits my hand better.
It's probably the only phone of that era that I would still use, I think.
Yeah.
I would use it if I think the battery of mine is dying, but if it wasn't, I would totally use that phone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
My wife liked mine so much, and I told her, you can't have this. This is actually works. She bought one. She went to the T-Mobile store and gave them $600 cash and bought one and still loves it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have all the answers for this. And I was joking on Google Plus or something that I'm glad everybody has everything figured out just 2 hours after they had no idea this was coming. there are just a lot of reasons it could have gone down and it could have happened. And it's not like Motorola's dead yet, I think. Could still happen. I mean, this is different than Palm being sold to HP, right?
I think so. Different company, different ideas, different track record.
Because Motorola died when Google bought them. I mean, Motorola was a huge electronics company. Google bought them and they turned into a company that builds cell phones. Motorola, as Motorola died 2 years ago, now, how long will that name hang on to make cell phones? I don't know.
Motorola is just a name at this point. It's kind of been grafted onto this kind of the ethos of what the Moto X and the Moto G did. But as you said, the Motorola, right before Google bought them, was in a pretty sharp decline throughout 2011 already. So it was, and then at this point, 2 years removed from that, it's not the company that it used to be. That doesn't mean that it doesn't still have equity in the brand and that Lenovo bought nothing, but, you know, Lenovo already knows how to make phones and, you know, Motorola wasn't the only one that had, you know, manufacturing chops for phones anymore.
You know what I want? And if you don't use a ThinkPad or have used a ThinkPad, you won't get this at all. But bring back the trackball, only make it a little pink eraser nub.
Dude, no, that would be pretty awesome. Front end. Yes, yes,
I would love that.
I'm sure there are Photoshops out there already with the Moto X as a sliding keyboard to the track point on it.
I would buy one in a heartbeat.
The first laptop I ever used for work, the newspaper sent me home with a ThinkPad. You know, this big, clunky, heavy ThinkPad. Not very it was old. It was so underspec'd. At the time, it might have been good. I don't know. But it was awesome because you put your fingers on the keyboard, and there's this little eraser nub that you just use there to move the mouse around on the screen, and it's little
right,
cute
but then under your index finger where it belongs.
Perfect. One of the best inventions ever, I think, since the shot glass.
You could use the ThinkPad as body armor in the Middle East, you know,
or anywhere else you might get.
Well, I mean, that's where we're at war right now. Nothing against lovely people in the Middle East. Been there.
That would be Jerry at AndroidCentral.com. Send your emails there. Yeah,
hopefully I don't need body armor in Toronto, but
I'm not excited about this.
Count that out.
But I'm not like totally freaking out and doomed and. You know?
It's just a big unknown right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right. And will continue to be for a long time.
And I know we're not supposed to say that in this business. We're not supposed to say, I don't know, I'm going to have to wait a little bit and see what happens. We're supposed to have it all figured out right this second.
We're supposed to make stuff up.
Right.
No, Motorola lost $10 billion and Samsung forced them to be sold.
All right, so let's transition into that, because there have been some rumors out there, and honestly, we haven't reported on half of them, because even the ones that, and I don't mind saying where they come from, Ina Fried at Recode had a piece, and if you don't know Recode yet, this is the ex-Wall Street Journal, ex-All Things D, refugees, basically. they took off from there, and they started their own thing. So they had a thing basically saying, Samsung and Google had a come to Jesus meeting, and Google said, you know, basically, hey, you guys need to quit doing stuff. And Samsung says, okay, but. And I'm not 100%. Something just sounds and feels weird about this whole thing.
You need to quit doing stuff. Screw you. No, we don't. I can read the license.
Like,
go away, Google. Stop calling me.
Yeah, and it's kind of morphed into this, oh, they're going to tone down TouchWiz, or they're not going to do this weird magazine UI, or something. Yeah, I have a hard time making that leap, because there's absolutely no reason. I mean, I could see Google trying to steer things a certain way, maybe, but I still think that sort of diversity is good for the ecosystem. It's good for the OS. It's good for the ecosystem. It's good for choice.
You could, the sort of counterpoint to that is Google has its own design guidelines, right? And a lot of what Samsung's been doing in the past 2 years has either been completely contrary to that, or, you know, leaving things behind like the menu button and all this other stuff. So
right.
you could think maybe Google wants, you know, ideally Google wants to steer them away from that. Whether that would be something that they would actually make a deal with them about, I'm not sure. More likely would be what was reported about the content ecosystems, with Samsung paring back what they're doing with their own app store, their own movies or whatever, yeah, they have going on there, and putting Google Play front and center. And there's been speculation that there's some sort of revenue sharing going on if that's the case.
I think we're likely to me. I think we're really setting ourselves up for disappointment. Like when you see the Galaxy S5, especially given the timing,
it still looks like a touch whiz. It's going to be done by the time if the deal happened.
What do you think, Jerry?
I think somebody told me this morning that whose opinion I trust and value about all this, Google loves TouchWiz because 700 million users love TouchWiz. Done.
Yeah.
There's your answer. Google may want you to use the same buttons, put the action overflow in the same damn place, get rid of the menu button.
Not Google put out a gallery that sucks.
Right. Google wants you to do all that.
Although that said, we've got this whole gallery photos thing from Google. Google, it's time to clean that up. All right, continue.
Well, but I don't think Google is going to say, hey, you've got to make some changes, because what Samsung has been doing now is, I mean, God, Samsung is Android, whether we like it or not.
I mean, you could argue that that would factor into any kind of deal as much as anything. If Google wants to control the face of Android that most people see, then they need to play ball with Samsung.
Exactly. If Google wants to make Android look a certain way, they need to make it look like TouchWiz. That's the only solution. Because there's 7 of every 10 phones.
That's not quite what I was getting at, but never mind.
But no, I think Alex hit it on the head. There's probably some content talk. I would love to see all the Samsung, they started as hubs. Remember when they started as hubs, the music hub? You know what? I want all that crap to go away. I've got like a couple $100 credit from different devices at Samsung's odds and ends stores, and I can't find anything I want. I mean, I already have it through either Amazon or through Google. If Samsung would stop putting resources into that, I'm curious what they could do with those engineers and those people and all that time. Like to see something else. Maybe Samsung sees value in it that I don't. Wouldn't surprise me. They're probably smarter at this than I am. But that's my take on it. This, TouchWiz is going to get cleaned up and it's going to look like stock Android, and we're not going to see apps like Lifetimes that we're going to see anyway. I don't buy it.
And it's too late, way too late for those kinds of far-reaching design decisions to be made, especially for what's coming out probably March, April.
There's a lot of code behind all of Samsung's devices that, you know, would need to be changed for anything to feel like a holistic change, that it's just not going to happen in this release or the next release, even if it did, you know, those discussions did go on.
On the other hand, content could be preloaded content, and, you know, the placement of certain apps can be changed quite easily.
Right.
Google doesn't want to alienate 2/3 of their customer base. If the next Samsung phone you buy isn't anything at all like the Samsung phone you have now and love,
true,
that's a problem. And Google doesn't want to get into that at all.
True.
They already have that when, you know, they tell you, you know, buy your Nexus. Look at this fancy commercial. This tablet's great. And then you look at it and say, this isn't anything at all like my Galaxy Tab. What the hell's wrong with Google?
Yeah.
You could argue that there's a lot of TouchWiz from a design perspective that just isn't really that cohesive anyway. And if they can bring something that's revamped and better, then that's surely an improvement.
I want to move to the other little rumor of the week, and it's all kind of morphed together. Eldar Murtazin, who was, you know, old school Nokia insider, occasionally gets some really good stuff, sometimes blows things, says that 2014 will be the last year for the Nexus, and 2015 it'll just be all Google Play editions all the time. Certainly possible. I mean, we've kind of, every year has been like, oh, this will be the last Nexus. Will there actually be a Nexus this year? you know, and where does this whole Samsung Google thing fit in, or Motorola? Mm. I mean, I don't know.
I'm not convinced. Let's just say, for instance, they did give up the Nexus program. That's a huge concession for Google, right? A huge global concession. And the Google Play Edition program isn't anywhere near as consumer-facing. It doesn't fulfill half the developer stuff that the Nexus program does to be a valid replacement for it right now.
And I would almost argue, and this is just, I don't know if it's just coincidence, or I'm not even sure if I believe it, but I have, in the back of my mind, it's just, well, okay, Google sold Motorola. It's got Nest to do this other cool hardware/design stuff, whatever. Nexus anything almost makes more sense now than ever before.
Whoa,
if you don't own a handset. Huh?
Nexus? Us. You've done it, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, it almost makes more sense to continue the Nexus line if you don't own a handset company. If you're treating the handset company differently, I don't know. That's been rattling around in the back of my brain. I'm not sure if I believe it 100% or what. If it happens, it happens. Life goes on. I still really like the idea of Nexus, whatever.
If they want to kill the name, they have to bring out a replacement that's cheap, that showcases their newest APIs as they're written, and that's available to everybody.
Yep.
You call that whatever you want, it's still a damn Nexus.
Yeah, right. And subsidized.
This is all, of course, just based off of one rumor from one person, but it's kind of, is it the end of, you know, the Nexus program in spirit, or is it the end of the Nexus program in the name? Does that coincide with the changing of what Google Play Edition means? You know, what does it all mean? I mean, obviously, I think it would be a bad thing if the Nexus 5, it was the last Nexus ever sold, and Google Play Editions continue to be kind of not the, you know, the best selling or best offerings out there and continue to be extremely expensive. I think that whole situation would be bad. But it's, you know, if the Nexus disappears and they re-architect what Google Play Edition means, does it really matter? I mean, is it just the name that people are worried about?
And right now it's important to say nothing's happened. Ain't nothing changed.
And we probably won't know until November 2015 whether it will change.
And a million things are going to happen and change between now and then.
So I'm not going to get an OTA that puts Filbler back on my Moto X and puts my Nexus 5 in the box and makes me ship it away.
Props to Jerry for remembering the old Filbler name. I'd forgotten about that. If you look it up, it's on the site. Just search for it.
I don't know. It's just the interesting thing is that, you know, Google's not, you know, they never tell you what kind of sales numbers the Nexus devices do. We heard really good things about the original Nexus 7 selling really, really well from Asus. You know, I don't think that they're really spending too much money on it, to be honest, and they're probably not losing money on the whole with it. So it's kind of, it wouldn't really make a whole lot of sense for them to bother killing it when it's not, you know, it's not a Motorola situation.
So a couple of things. I mean, they said yesterday that they were doing good numbers on the Nexus line. I think they were saying they spent a good deal of money marketing it as well, so that's probably why it's something to do with it, right? You have a good product.
They always say that.
Mm-hmm. They always say that. They didn't give us any numbers. So
they could also say nothing.
They could also say nothing.
No. Okay. Continue.
Phil, you on the other side of it, tell me.
If they if they're canceling it, it's not because of the monetary concerns, right? Because
that's my
point. They're making a loss, it's a very small loss. So who cares? If they are canceling it, it's someone else's request, which who knows.
I want to. We've been ignoring the Q&A this whole time, and I feel bad about that. But we've had important stuff to talk about, and I've had silly sounds to make. So, on Emosphere. Did I say that right?
Yep.
I think so. Nexus line going away, is it true, right? Don't know.
Nope.
And the funny thing is, everybody acts as if it is true.
Right.
Like that's the foregone conclusion now. One more Nexus phone, and then, you know, last year breed, better buy two and put one on the shelf and not touch it.
Another thing I heard this morning from the same person, I value his opinion a lot, is Well, you guys on blogs and media, you can say whatever you want. Nobody's going to know the truth anyway. Just make stuff up. That's what you do best.
And yeah, the source has at best a 50% track record, right?
Right.
Not Jerry's source, this other source.
No.
Yeah, well, all sources, when you come down to it, all sources are half wrong.
Look, I mean, for me as the editor of this site, here's how I see it, right? These are single source rumors. They might well be true, they might well not. And short of being able to say, first, we said it first.
But then some people will be able to say, you were first to get it wrong.
When it
comes up to it.
If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And so many things are going to change between now and then. And I absolutely agree that one way or the other, we're never, like me, anyone else outside of Google, and probably very few within it, are actually going to know all the pieces and be able to put those pieces in the same room and say, here's why this happened this way. Would I love to know it? Sure. I have to go to bed every night knowing that I don't work there, I don't make millions of dollars and have the education, and frankly, I'm that smart to be able to do that, right? So that's why I think, me personally, I'm okay not knowing. I'm okay figuring out the things in front of me, for the same reason that I don't, like, just go apeshit over rumors the way we tend to do. And just, you know, I've got this phone here to write about. I've got this phone here to write about. I've got this phone here to write. Ooh, you didn't see that. I've got this tablet here to write about.
I think we could talk about one of those devices.
I'm updating my Z10 for the first time in forever because it's finally got 10.2 on it, and I can properly run the Android Central BlackBerry app. So sue me. If it happens, it happens, especially for something that's that far out. So much is going to change. Pablo wants to know, with all the talk of the Nexus line ending in 2015, do you think that Google would push the Google Play Edition devices through, although they are priced at the full retail? See, that's the other thing about Nexus, right? You get it so much cheaper.
And the Google Play Editions, I think that's going to be tough for... So that's a situation where Google would be losing money because the OEMs aren't just going to all of a sudden... sell and, hardware-wise, a nearly identical device on a broad scale and let Google sell it for half price because it undermines their ability to sell unlocked devices at full price.
Right,
yeah.
I just don't see that happening.
And the Nexus devices are built from the ground up to be sold at those price points, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a case of the GPEs. You take an existing phone that's sold for $600 and you stick a different OS on it.
We throw the word subsidize and losing money and everything around. But I'll bet the facts are closer to, from the very first time the pencil hit the paper, these phones were designed to be zero profit and cheap.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ryan, who, by the way, I got to meet at CES, which is very cool. Now, IR Blaster is a surprising feature that HTC and then Samsung brought back in 2013. Don't forget LG. Besides curved phones and Sony, too. Do you see manufacturers surprising us with any new hardware features this year? That's
yes.
A good question.
Well, I don't know. You know what? Curved phones.
Yeah.
I've got this Flex here.
Yeah, what do you think about it?
Look, as far as the curve, it's no more curved than my Nexus S that nobody liked.
No. It's more curved.
I've got them both here in my same.
I think if you took the Nexus S and expanded it to that size.
The curve is the same. You can take a protractor. It's almost identical.
I will bend your Nexus S right here.
Well, that was just the glass on the Nexus S that's curved. And it's the bendable part, there's probably a future in that. This is just, step one.
Yeah.
But the rest, it's a big Android phone. LG needs to do something more to surprise me at this point in the game.
The question I really had for them when I sat in the briefings with them on that phone was, can you do this on a smaller phone, on a more traditionally sized phone than something 6 inches?
Yeah.
They said, absolutely yes. So we'll see.
Because I do like the curve, but I just am not as impressed by it as a lot of people seem to be.
Right. On Emosphere, who has since apologized for his nickname, by the way, appreciate it, asks, with Samsung and Google cross-licensing of these patents, is there a possibility that some TouchWiz-like features will ever come to a Nexus-type device or a Google Play Edition? It's already possible, and if you remember back with the Google Play Edition Galaxy S4, it brought, the quick window worked, right? So that's, You're kind of talking apples and oranges a little bit.
But I think that's jumping to conclusions again. I mean, I saw a lot of people commenting on the patent cross-licensing saying, oh, does that mean that the Galaxy Gear could start working with Nexus devices?
Patents are even in play?
Right, exactly. You don't know which patents they are, and you don't know, you know, just because patents are applicable doesn't mean that they want to do that.
It doesn't mean they would have been prohibited from doing that anyway.
And it doesn't mean that they just start sharing all of their code as they, you know, they work on it back and forth giving away their ideas. Samsung still wants to have things that are exclusive to themselves. Just because they do a patent licensing deal doesn't mean that they just don't care about that anymore.
It's probably the kind of low-level stuff that can get your phones banned in the United States is what's switching hands here.
Right.
Harv wants to know, do you think part of the deal is Lenovo going to make the next Nexus phone?
I'd like to see it. I want to see as many companies as possible make one.
I think that Lenovo could bid just the same as any other device makers have been able to bid.
I'll bet manufacturers don't want to build Nexus phones. We think that that's a badge that they all wear with honor. But come on, guys. When LG talks about it, don't you just get this little thought in your head that whoever's talking is thinking, man, I wish we didn't have to screw with these stupid Nexus phones.
Well, Asus seems to be really happy about it.
They're still selling phones, right? It's still contributing to the bottom line. They still negotiate how much of the pie Google takes and how much of the pie LG takes. So if they didn't want to do it, there's nothing forcing them to even place a bid in the first place.
Everybody talks about Samsung making the next Nexus phone. I don't think it's worth Samsung's while to make a Nexus phone, and this is why.
I could agree with that.
They could make another Nexus phone like next week and not break stride.
But do they want or care enough?
How do they benefit from that?
Yeah.
Well, through early code.
Maybe.
And through working with Google closely on one product.
I think from the LG point of view, you know, when we go to CES, we still see LG's booths have tables full of Nexus 5s they're showing off, and they bring up the Nexus 5 as one. You know, their press conference said, we had great devices like the G2 and the Nexus 5 launch in 2013. They say that. So, whether that's lip service or not, I don't know.
I want to move on to something a little different. Dan asks, no, that was the wrong one. Anyway, we'll answer it. Will the Verizon Galaxy S4 ever get KitKat? Yes, it will. Well, damn it, where'd that question go? John, any awesome ways to integrate my Android phone with my new MacBook? Now that three-fourths of us on this podcast are using Macs, that's the question. What do you want to do with it? If you want to transfer files, which is relatively easy, you need the Android file transfer. What's it called?
Android file transfer. Or Dropbox.
Samsung phone?
Ooh, yeah, then there's that. I tell you, Dropbox is actually easier than
you got to use keys
a lot of times. Yeah, don't use keys.
The problem is, it's just what kind of integration do you really want? I mean, everything that Android can do is pretty much just going to be backed up on the web.
If you're not using Google services for stuff, which is the easiest way to do it, and I get that not everybody can, and some people don't want to, but I mean, talk about integrating anything with anything. That's how you do it.
Right.
For me.
Right. Yeah.
For my money.
I mean,
Since you are the number one Moto X fan, what's your opinion on Lenovo's new... No, we've answered that.
Ha.
I was going to make Jerry go through it all again. We answered that.
The price for that space on the wall behind you.
I tell you, I keep telling Kevin Mitchell at Crackberry, for $500, I will put a big giant BBM logo up there.
So if I pay you $500, you'll put anything I want up there?
Well, isn't that like just paying myself since I pay you anyway?
Yeah, but it would get what I want on the wall behind you. That'd be worth money to me.
No, I did just order a bookcase to go back here, so we'll do something fun.
Cool.
I think I have a Q&A question that's pretty cool.
Okay, which one?
Emil, it's pretty far down. Says, is there any device/devices that are not available in your region that you would like to see available in your market? Thanks for all of your awesome Android coverage.
Somebody from a big-time journalistic publication I won't out them yet because they're working on the story. You guys asked me that exact question last night, and I had a hard time answering it because I think we got some pretty cool stuff here now. Yeah, what does Jerry want?
Sony, that damn new Z1, that small one. Give it to me now, or I will hate you forever. And
that
ever
device
and ever.
Is really, really nice.
Yeah,
I'm starting to hate you because I don't have it yet.
Well, one thing. So we spoke to Sony briefly at IFA. That's not at IFA, at CES, and they were saying that they have the unlocked devices program. Obviously, they have separate deals with carriers and stuff, but they said the unlocked devices program is very important to them, and they're going to keep doing it. So if it appears anywhere in the US, it will be through that.
Good, and that's how I want it. I want to pay $600 for it, buy it from Sony's website. I don't want to have to get the T-Mobile exclusive version or any of that crap. I just don't want to wait 6 months for it.
By the way, that's me saying it. If it's going to be around, it'll be on that, not Sony saying that, because they're not commenting on it.
Well, make them comment. You know them. All you British guys are the same. Just grab one of them and shake them till phones fall out of his pocket.
Looking at the list of links we have, other stuff that's going on. Ooh, this Galaxy S4 Black Edition looks pretty hot.
I know. I mean, how much better would our review of even our opinion of the S4 have been if that had been the model they launched with, and if we didn't have the horrible, glossy, slimy, plasticky back?
Yeah, you have to say that the Note 3's materials feel quite a bit better.
Yeah,
which this is just
If they're in black, if you get the white one, it's still very plastic and hard, and it's not anywhere near as good as black. I like the black a lot.
That I read this time last year that Samsung was only going to do metal from now on.
Oh, that's right.
That rumor every year.
It needs to be made out of meat, man. We're meat. So only acceptable material.
Congress. I don't know. Red Nexus 5 probably coming to Google Play on February 4th.
How many are you buying, Phil?
Do I have to buy one?
One for everybody.
You have to buy one for each of us, at least.
We'll see.
It's going to be the last Nexus ever released, so you better
buy
one. Stop it. Hey, do we want to make fun of Andrew for a few minutes?
Go for it.
Yes.
Popular about T-Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
Man, hey, I was supposed to fire you, by the way, so you're fired.
Wow. How many people told you to fire me?
Back to work.
He has like 3 or 4, I think.
Jeez. I've been fired so many times every day.
No, I mean, look, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, right? Like, I completely agree with the sentiment that T-Mobile has that things need to change. They need to be shaken up. I'm all for that. As somebody who occasionally crosses lines of things that are funny and or in good taste, I thought the satirical, press release was just kind of like, maybe trying a little too hard there.
Mm-hmm.
The Tim Tebow commercials that came out today I thought were pretty funny.
Right? Oh, yeah, agreed.
And the funny thing is that their recent, their regular commercials that have been, all over TV and, their big banner ads they put on buses and buildings and stuff have been more like rah-rah T-Mobile. Look, this is what we do. This is, this is our LTE network. These are our prices, unlimited everything. Those are just they're in such contrast from what the CEO does and what all the antics are, that it's really weird.
Well, all I know is I was reading a press release when I hear Andrew throw out a big WTF. What, T-Mobile? This is insane. And then I read one more line about how this press release has fake quotes and we don't really mean all this, LOL, just kidding. In a press release, and I knew exactly what Andrew was talking about.
Hey, Andrew, what carrier do you actually give your own money?
AT&T.
Oh,
wow, that was not the answer I thought you were going to give me. That was my fault.
you caught me like a week after I had a T-Mobile and an AT&T line.
I was going to say, no.
I
thought you had a T-Mobile line.
Okay. As of like 4 days ago, I had a T-Mobile.
Oh, see, then that's totally not my fault.
I had two phone lines. What do I need two phone lines for right now?
I don't know. All right, well, I give T-Mobile money so everybody can relax a little.
Yeah.
Anyways, yes.
I've got three of them.
No, I've been a T-Mobile customer I've been one for 4 years until 4 days ago.
It's okay if you hate them. I see.
No, and that's the whole point of my article, right? So if you read down, past the headline, which is usually a good start.
That hate-filled headline.
Yeah. If you go headline, image, and then comment section, that's just the wrong way to go. So if you get like two-thirds of the way down, you'll see I want T-Mobile to do everything that it does except for act like a bunch of idiots about you know, how they're going to market themselves, because that's just, you get people in the door a little bit with that. But the best way to get people in the door is to talk about what you do right, you know, the good policies that they already have. It's not like they're covering up anything. They don't have anything to cover up. They have a lot of great things going for them. So that's my biggest problem is T-Mobile as a network, a customer service, everything is all has been great. I've not had any issues with it really. Or I've had very, very fewer issues, much fewer issues than AT&T or Verizon or Sprint.
I think people remember back to old podcasts when and you know, I'm talking, you know, at least 6 months ago, where, I mean, T-Mobile was still struggling, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I would say, look, I love T-Mobile, I love the company, but their coverage sucks. It was not good. It's gotten a lot better since then. It still has mm-hmm. room to improve, but it's certainly a lot better. It's what I use every day now.
Right, and that's the thing. I'm not at all trashing on their network or their plans or their offerings or anything. They offer all of the best devices. They offer great plans, great pricing. I just, why are they getting in the way of all that good stuff with stupid talk?
The important stuff. Yeah.
Right. I said it reeks of desperation when they don't have anything to be desperate about. They're adding 500,000 to 1 million customers every single quarter. You know, at this rate, they're going to be larger than Sprint in 2 years. Why do they need to, you know, act like this? I don't think it works for that long of a time.
I think the idea was muscling on AT&T's news cycle because it was out of their earnings stuff, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's putting out something that is so ridiculous and so insane that you can't not talk about it. But that's got to backfire in the respect that it just comes off as kind of dumb, right? And they're seen by a lot of people to have crossed a line with that.
Right. Honestly, I think we've talked too much about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big a deal.
I take two things away from it all. Number one, that hero picture where Ledger's got the Red Bull in his eyes. I've been there. I've totally been there. I can feel for him.
God, how awesome were those? Look, I've taken some really bad pictures in this job. Damn, I got some good ones out of that.
You captured the maniacal, I've been up 317 hours and I'm going to kill somebody or die. And then anytime you write a story about John Ledger, you get to say swear words. So, Andrew... Internet
right,
high-five.
Exactly.
I understand why.
Because you're quoting.
Right. And if you're quoting him, you have to get away with it. Phil can't even stop you.
And so, I mean, I guess my final thought is that I think that this isn't going to be a good strategy for any decent amount of time. You know, you can act like you're the upstart, you know, going after everybody, going to, you know, stop wearing a suit and tie, you know, you're going to put on the leather jacket and talk crap about other carriers. But is, like I said, a year and a half from now, maybe 2 years from now, they're no longer fourth place, they're third place. And then they're, you know, getting closer and closer and closer.
Then people,
you can't, you're no longer the upstart, you know.
Or they're second place under Sprint.
All right.
Right.
Onward. I want Jerry to talk for a minute about packaging Chrome apps and running them on Android. Why is it a thing? Why are we talking about it?
Because it's pretty damn neat. It's if you use the supported APIs, there is a list of the APIs that are supported. You can't just put any Chrome app on Android. But if you use only the supported APIs, you can write one app and you can develop it for Chrome, which means you're using HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, which is a whole lot easier to code in. You get instant visual results. You don't have to dink around with Eclipse or other IDEs and build your code to see how it runs. You can code as you work. You can see it, write something that's great, and then just run one little script, and it will also install to Android devices with the same code. That just opened up Android's Google Play to millions and millions and millions of really good developers who had no desire to sit down and learn Java and Eclipse and how to use Ant to build Android APK files.
So what's the downside?
The downside is that also opened it to millions and millions of people who could write a little web script that's in a web container that may not do things you like very much on your phone, and you can sideload them and put them on your phone. Ugly stuff, or maybe malicious stuff, or maybe stuff filled with crappy adware. There are a lot of things out there. I monkeyed with some of the code for the Chrome calculator and got it to build for Android. It looked very, very ugly. You're going to see a lot of that. Right. You're going to see people who do just enough to get it to build and then they're done.
Well, there's ugly and malicious stuff, that's written regularly for Android, right? So is there more of a chance of that now?
Well, it's easier now.
Okay. Is there a chance that, not knowing a whole lot about this, is there a chance that it's going to develop well enough that you won't know the difference when you install an app? There won't be any hallmarks of, oh, this is a, you know, this is a recompiled web app.
Your average user won't even know now. Okay. If you're a little bit savvy and can open up an app file, you can easily see how it was built. But these aren't extensions that load through Chrome. When the news first came out, I thought, oh, cool, Chrome extensions. But you don't even have to have Chrome installed on your phone to use these. They're standalone APK files.
Is this better or worse than what Adobe was doing? With the Air.
It's the same.
Yeah.
Started off as PhoneGap, which was an Adobe project. Now it's a Cordova from Apache. And now this is that's what this is built on. They don't even pretend that it's anything else. You install the Cordova libraries and use it to build these. So,
well, the interesting part of this to me is that it came right after Google put out a press release, a couple months ago that were like, okay, now you can pin web pages that are specifically designed to be launchable from the home screen, and they'll launch without the Chrome, right, the UI Chrome around it. And then they come out with this, is this just going to kill all their other efforts to kind of do the pinning of pages on your home screen?
Maybe, because what you can do now is you hire somebody to write your web page that's actually a really great HTML5 app. Looks wonderful on a phone. Then you get somebody, even somebody like me, who can just use 10 lines of code and turn that into a Chrome app. Then you take that Chrome app, run one command on it, and you're left with an APK you can install right in your app drawer that launches your web app, and it looks just like any other Android application. So it's going to extend that, but yeah, it's kind of odd that they cared enough to spend time to write pinnable web launchers if they knew this was coming.
I want to jump into a Q&A question because it's quite a good one here.
Yes.
Ryan says, at the end of 2014, which will be the bigger player in the mobile/Android space in the US, Lenovo or Sony?
Ooh.
Which is kind of interesting.
Worldwide?
In the US.
Oh, US. I see a question.
If I don't get that Z1 Mini, it's going to be Lenovo.
Lenovo as a brand or Motorola owned by Lenovo?
I think he's referring to Lenovo, including Moto.
I think Sony's still bigger.
You think?
The sales numbers, if they keep doing, unless they just go crazy with Motorola and start releasing phones all over the place and all of a sudden just have carrier deals, they're not going to be able to make much more of a foothold in a year than Sony already has. Which is
Sony right now is a foothold. They have the unlocked store, which they say they're going to keep around. It's important to them, but that's still kind of a niche market. It's $600 for unlocked phones online. They've got the deal with Timo for the Z1S, which is a very good phone. But again, they launched it like 4 or 5 months after the international version. That's still a thing for Sony, unfortunately. They don't have deals with AT&T anymore because I don't know whether that was soured because the devices they had with AT&T weren't very good. They haven't even shown any interest in the CDMA carriers. So it's going to be tricky for Sony. They need to get on AT&T if they want to make the kind of inroads and if they want to challenge Motorola or Lenovo.
I think a lot of that does hinge on whether or not they can spark back up those conversations with AT&T. I remember Sony at CES just talked a lot about T-Mobile, and that's really it. But I think that you don't know where Motorola stands with the carriers after they get taken over by Lenovo. Do those carrier deals run out? Do they continue to talk to them? You know, they made a deal with AT&T at the expense for MotoMaker at the expense of their other carrier partners. They have the droids on Verizon, I guess, is a good, probably a good foothold, but you don't know how long that lasts either.
I think we're trying to getting ahead of ourselves here. We've been talking about how, you know, a lot of it's unknown, that the current product cycles have to be played out. I think the same is going to apply to carrier deals and all that, this other stuff as well. Mm-hmm. The stuff they have in place for all the stuff they put in place, the Moto X is going to continue, I think, with whatever products they have coming out this year. You know, hopefully if the sales numbers haven't been disastrous, then that's not going to sabotage any of those or endanger any of those deals that they have in place.
The Moto X is going to go a full year, right? When it just being announced in August, we don't know if it's going to do a full year on US carriers or what.
They're saying they want to bring MotoMaker to the UK. I think the exact wording was in a few months, so we're looking maybe Q2. If they're doing that presumably with the X, because the X has just come out in Europe, that means that MotoMaker arrives at Q2. You're looking maybe Q3 then for the next Moto product, which is maybe going to be hopefully a global launch.
Or a China-only launch.
Stop it.
Somebody's got to be an idiot. It's got to be me.
I think we're going to have to call it.
Oh, real quick.
Yes.
Because I'm going to ask you on the air so I know what to do.
Sure.
The prescription frames for Google Glass.
Yeah, $250.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
Plus lenses, which are
Does Jerry spend the extra bucks and buy the official Google ones, or do I go through Rochester and save myself $100?
What's the difference?
I want to know what people think. The difference is the styling mostly. The ones that Google put out looked a little, and we haven't seen those in the flesh yet, but they look a little more hipster and ultra chic, where the Rochester ones are just like kind of glass metal.
Right, and the third-party ones slip in like the normal shades do now, whereas these Titanium Collection ones bolt in and look like a piece of the whole thing.
But tell me what you think, guys. I want to know, because I'm not afraid to spend an extra $100 on my glasses. Glasses are something that even tight Jerry's wallet will open up for.
How often are you wearing them? If you're not wearing them that much,
oh no, these are my glasses, man. When I get them,
yeah,
they're my 24/7 glasses with Google Glass in it.
I think if you've given up the fact that you're going to wear them, like if you've decided, okay, Google Glass with the prescription lenses is my way to go, I think you go Titanium Collection if you don't mind the styles.
Agreed.
It's just a more integrated system. It's not going to look like a bolt-on. As good as I've seen those third-party ones, I think Russell Hawley talked about one of them from one of the companies being pretty good.
The same one I'm considering, yes.
Right.
I agree.
And unless something happens that forces me to get a second pair of glasses, I'm just going with it.
I'd love to see them. I'm not going to get the ones, obviously, with the clear. You know, I got LASIK, so I didn't have to deal with that crap anymore. But I'm not going to get the hipster ones with the clear lenses. That's just kind of ridiculous.
Oh.
Or the non-prescription lenses, I should say.
We could be like lens buddies.
Look like I'm going to a shop class with just, you know, non-prescription lenses in all the time.
Don't you want to be my lens buddy?
And with that, boys and girls.
Got a show title right there.
Yeah. 169 Lens Buddies.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's it. I think we're done. didn't do any emails this week, but you can drop us one at podcast@androidcentral.com.
Or send them directly to jerry@androidcentral.com.
No, that's just for hate mail.
What? Wait a minute now.
More questions about hate mail.
Fine. Fine. Okay. Android Central 169. Everybody hates Jerry.
Oh
come on now. That's
As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com, your source for all things Android, except I just totally made that line up right there. Shop Android, all the cool accessories and stuff. Hey, by the way, you can save 15% through Monday, for those of you listening to this podcast early, for some sort of super football game bowl.
Ooh, that's... Not,
it's pretty
not
super.
The word we're not allowed to say, right?
Not allowed to say what? Super football game?
Well, that's we're allowed to say those words. We're just not allowed to put certain words together now, right?
Anyway, 15% off
not,
there.
Not in relation to an advertisement. That's for darn sure.
Android, shopandroid.com. Or call them at 888-468-6158 if that's your thing. Go find us all on Google+. We are all on there. We're all on here. Some of us are on Twitter. Just search our names. That's the easiest thing to do. And that, kids, is it. Hey, by the way, we are 3 weeks out from Mobile World Congress. 3 weeks from right now. I shall be departing. Andrew's coming, too. We're dragging Andrew to Spain this year.
I've got a long flight.
It's not much longer than the rest of us.
You'll just go the other direction.
I'm at 14 and a half hours total, so.
Your connecting flight is in St. Petersburg. I hear it's cold that time of year, boy.
I'm going the long way.
So that's it. Oh, by the way, we got the WP Central Android app up this week, so that means we have them for Android Central, CrackBerry, iMore, smartwatch fans, and WP Central.
It means Dan bought a Moto X.
He did, actually. You want to know who's winning? You want me to look at download numbers real quick? Obviously, we're winning. But oh, next...
Don't tell us. Let us all guess.
All right, guess.
I'll guess last since I just opened my big mouth.
Okay. I see Android Central, iMore, WP Central, smartwatch fans.
I think CrackBerry is second.
I think it's...
Oh, yeah, CrackBerry. I put CrackBerry under iMore and above WP.
No, you don't get to...
I say CrackBerry, then iMore, then smartwatch, then WP Central.
It goes Android Central, iMore, and I'm talking... I'm looking at current installs, by the way. And then CrackBerry, followed very closely by smartwatch fans. WP Central is at a disadvantage because it's only been available for like 2 months.
I almost had it right.
Yeah. Anyway, happy they're all there. Yes, we are absolutely looking at doing a combined app. I don't know for sure if we're going to kill the other apps when that happens. I doubt we will, but we'll see.
Crack more Century watch fans.
Yeah. .co.uk.
So that's in the works. We got an update coming hopefully soon for AC. Hopefully next week sometime. If not, I would imagine the week after. So a lot of fixes, a lot of features we've been missing and wanting to do, we're finally getting back to. So we absolutely did not forget about it. So thank you for joining us on this lovely Friday afternoon. For those of us here, I was going to point out the window, which you can't see out of. But it's actually very nice outside.
Is it the blinds? Yeah,
I did survive the great ice storm of 2014 in Florida. Holy crap, was that weird.
I was very, very nice and very, very good on the internet about that whole mess.
Thank you.
People that made fun of those poor folks down in Florida and Alabama, shame on you.
It's pretty crazy.
Shame on you.
I mean, I'm in Washington and it snows here and people start crashing into each other and don't know how to drive or walk or do anything. So I don't, you know, I can't poke too much fun.
Same here.
I made it. We lived. All right, so we should be back next week. Hopefully we'll start talking MWC stuff soon because that is coming up. And that's it for me. Alex, Jerry, Andrew, thank you guys.
Phil.
Adios, Mr. Phil.
See y'all next week.
Later.
See you later.